Good morning. This podcast is brought to you by HTS. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. HTS specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give Home Theater Solutions a call at 1-800-690-2029 or visit them at htsav.net. 3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, man?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Monday morning, great weekend. Weather's changing. People are a little less, I guess.
Locals are coming out.
Yeah. Here, bring this up a little closer so we can get. Yeah. Just don't be shy.
Okay.
There you are. So, Kim.
Yes.
Miyagi's Ramen Bar.
Yep.
So you've been on the podcast. We had you on with Heather. I mean, with Gretchen.
Gretchen. Yes.
Hansen. Probably maybe like a year ago.
Yeah.
7, 8 months ago.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was close to a year ago.
Yeah, the food therapy.
Yes.
Yeah, so I went the other night. I'm like, you know, let's try something. You know, we're starting to see it a little more than we were before, but some of these kind of ramen bar bowl kind of things. I grew up on ramen noodles, but
right.
The next level of ramen.
Exactly.
And I told my wife, I said, how about, it was actually for my son's birthday, and I said, how about we try some ramen bar? So I had heard of your place, went over there, had it, chatted with you for a few minutes, basically had a podcast right there in your restaurant, and went home. And I never even told you this. So I had ordered three orders.
Uh-huh.
I came home with two.
You're kidding.
So I didn't even get to eat.
What did you not get?
I think I said I wanted three of everything. Three, and I think
you know
just,
what? That might have been my mistake. Because
no,
I didn't.
I'll take the blame, Kim. Listen, we're not here to make you feel bad. But my point was I didn't even get to eat. My son ate his.
Oh, my gosh.
So I had to share my wife's, and I didn't even really get to experience the full course.
Well, in a way, I'm glad you didn't, because I want you to experience it the way it's supposed to be, not like a takeout.
In the restaurant.
So next time you come into the restaurant, I'll get you a nice hot bowl of ramen noodles.
Yes, well, we will,
yep.
Because you did have to give me a little bit of explaining on how to do something due to the fact that I was taking it home, and I
right.
used all of that information when I prepped. My wife's like, the noodles are stuck together.
I go, yep.
I've been instructed what to do, and I will do it, and following your instruction, it was perfect. It was delicious.
Great.
It was great, so thank you. But, of course, anywhere I go, I say, hey, you want to come on my podcast? And you're so gracious. So here you are. So how is time? How's this been? How are you guys doing? Are you going to make it?
I hope we do. I mean, we're doing good. In the beginning, nobody expected what to happen in this kind of days, especially with a pandemic going around globally.
Right.
I mean, despite the non-trusters or hoaxers or whatever you want to call them saying that this is not a big deal. You know, if it is not a big deal, then why is everybody taking precaution? You know,
right.
It's better safe than sorry. That's how I look at it. So we train our people too to be safe than sorry.
Well, and we're 5, 6 months into this thing now.
Right.
It's easy to look back and go, ah, what?
Exactly.
But at the time it was, you know, we had to do what we had to do.
Right.
You know, you're either tell me what I can't do, or you're either tell me what I can do.
Right.
And it looks to me like you're more of the tell me what I can do, and then let's
right.
make it happen.
Right.
Don't tell me what I can't do. I need to know what I can't do.
Exactly.
You know, what can we do to keep going?
Exactly.
You guys seem to be doing it. I hope, you know, the reality is starting to show up again. You know, it's called fall
right.
and winter. Luckily, we have kind of a good fall season. I mean, really,
yes.
this is where the adults show up, right?
Exactly. This is where the locals show up.
And the locals.
Right. And those are the people who, I mean, we don't necessarily just cater to either locals or the tourists, but, you know, locals are the people that we get to see more often.
Right.
We get to chat more often instead of somebody who just come by, eat our food that one day, and then don't see us for another year.
Right.
I mean, we have loyal people who come. Every time they come to Rehoboth, they stop by and they say hello and stuff like that.
Well, we've definitely changed, right? We've evolved.
Yeah.
How long have you been in Rehoboth?
We're going on our fourth year. So,
how long have you lived here?
Oh, I lived here almost 13, 14 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I moved in 94. It's changed up into 94. And then from the time I've been here, I've watched another kind of change because, you know, prior to that, there was even, you'll hear people that, you know, after, you know, August 1st, like we just went through,
yeah,
the town was completely dead.
Oh, absolutely. I remember nobody even entered Rehoboth when right. I first came down. So I was like, am I making the right decision coming down from New York City where everything is busy every single day, whether it's winter, summer, or fall? And here it's like after Labor Day, nobody even went into town.
Right.
So, and everybody was closed too.
Well, we're starting to see a transition of people. And I think, you know, Sodell kind of, I don't know if they started it, but we're starting to see people that are considering the highway, the accessibility right. off the highway. The, you know, I remember, I forget who it was, it may have even been Scott. He said, you know, we started looking at property and stuff on the highway, and it started checking off more boxes
right.
for a potential place to have a restaurant more than being down in Rehoboth did.
Right.
So I don't know if that was in your thinking or you just took what you can get, but you were definitely on the highway.
Well, at that time, I honestly did not want to be in town. It was just too chaotic for me.
Yeah.
And second of all, like I wanted parking space. I wanted people not to have to worry about running out to a parking space because I feel like if you're in town, you can only cater to so many people who are just in town. So I wanted a year-long place. I wanted to be able to do, you know, decent business during winter as our food is also sought after during winter as well. So that's kind of like the reason where we're at.
Well, and that's a great point because sometimes, and listen, anything I say right now is no disrespect to the town of Rehoboth because I love our
me
town.
Too,
yeah, and so I don't want to come off like that, but sometimes I feel like in town you almost just get what you can get.
Right.
And what I like about your place and other places, like I specifically wanted ramen.
Right.
You know, I just didn't go into Rehoboth. Where can I find a spot to park? What's open,
right.
What will serve me at this hour, what can I get, I'll take it.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's sometimes, and good for Rehoboth, right? It's busy.
Right.
But that sometimes can be the situation down there where, you know, if I want to specifically want to get something, and 94, 95, maybe that wasn't as it definitely wasn't happening, but
right.
2020, there's a lot of places, a lot of restaurants now that are out on the highway that
yep.
you don't have to go in if you want to avoid that chaos.
Exactly.
So I definitely can relate to that. And it's nice because you can go in and walk the town.
Yep.
Or you can find some great places out on the... How right. long have you been out? Because you are located in... What's the name of it? Because it's where Safeway is.
Right. I call it the Safeway Plaza, but I think it's called like Seashore Plaza or something like that.
Well, that's what I was going to call it, the Safeway Plaza. But if there was an actual real name for it, we
yeah.
can go by that. But it's where Safeway is.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, if we're really going to... Did anything go into where TGI Fridays was?
I heard a rumor... But I'm not at liberty to say.
Okay. Well, so you're to the right of where the old TGF Fridays was.
That's correct.
Yeah. And I'd never been there. I apologize.
No, no need.
But cool little spot.
Yeah, I'm glad you decided to try us out because, you know, trying new food is sometimes different and sometimes difficult too because every time a new restaurant opens, I just go there just to try it out, you know.
Right.
Not because I feel like, oh, what's this person making, is it a competition? It's not about that. But when I first moved down here, it was just bad restaurants after bad restaurants. And that's going 13, 14 years ago. But still, you know, I just want to try things.
Well, and sometimes a bad restaurant, it doesn't always have to be that they're just no good, but sometimes, you know, they run their course, you know,
right.
they get, and as an owner, and I know as an owner of a salon, hair salon, I can get a little frazzled, but in the restaurant business, I don't know what the lifespan is of an owner, but
right.
can be a tough gig. So whether they just burn out
right.
and the restaurant just kind of fades away, you know, it doesn't always mean that they're bad. It's just the evolution of a restaurant.
Right. And I think that's where we come in because our food is so different. It's, of course, it's ethnic food, but I want to bring like different ethnicity to not just Japanese ramen, but you know, that's why we have, you know, some Korean food. Cause my friends were like, well, Kim, you're Korean. Can you cook us this? And I'm like, yeah, but this is a Japanese ramen noodle house.
Right.
So then I realized trying to do just authentic Japanese noodle only, people don't kind of get it. So I said, yeah, let's throw this in. Let's throw that in. So our menu evolved to what it is today.
I'm sure you don't remember what, because I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand any of it. What is the first thing I said to you? Help me.
Well, this is the thing. Any kind of food, I feel like if people are not educated or if they don't know anything about it, they're kind of reluctant to try it.
Right.
Because they don't know whether they like it or not. And they don't want to spend money on something that they're not going to like. So we try to educate our staff to educate the customers as well and try to explain to them as best as best of our knowledge so that it kind of eases the transition.
Well, can I learn?
Sure.
Can you teach me about ramen right now? Because I'm ready to come back.
Okay, so ramen originally...
Let me just ask you a few questions. So the broth.
Okay.
Okay, is it a standard broth?
Yes.
So
because there's chicken,
okay,
chicken broth, there is a pork broth, and there is a vegan broth, so vegetables only. So that's the basic broth.
Well, there's a bone broth, too.
That's the pork bone broth, yes.
Okay, so the pork is the pork bone broth.
Right, and it's called a Hakka-style pork bone broth, so it's a specific region in Japan that used to make that.
Hakka.
And Hakka, H-A-K-A.
So Hakka is a region?
No, it's the style of it's the bone broth, basically. Okay. It's not just like they're throwing like pork and then boiling it. It's just the specific types of bones that they use, like such as ham bones, neck bones, shin bone. So those, and then you scrape out all the marrow once it's cooked. And it's the style of how it's cooked as well. It's very slow, not even simmer, but like a bubble state, we call it.
Yeah, didn't you tell me that you spent 24 hours making a bone broth?
Oh, yeah. It takes almost 26 hours just to make the pork bone broth. And then, of course, about 10 hours to make the pork so that the pork is, we char it first, and then we cook it in a very low heat for a long period of time so that in a sauce, so it becomes like tender and but at the same time a little bit chewy with a lot of flavors.
So we're starting off from the basics. We got a chicken broth.
Yep.
Bone pork broth.
Right.
And a vegetable broth.
Right.
Okay, so this is good. Okay, right. I'm learning.
Right. So what makes all our ramen different is the sauces. So the broth is just broth. It's like when you make a soup, a pot of soup, and you don't add any salt, pepper, any kind of ingredients that will marry it all together, then it just becomes bland.
Right.
So it's almost like, it's just bland to me. So right. When you add the salt to, let's say, a vegetable stock, then it marries it together, becomes vegetable soup.
Yeah.
So we have the broth separate, then the sauce is separate. And sauce is what differentiate all the ramens that we have. Like we have a miso sauce.
Okay, so, hold on, let me...
All right.
I got to see. I don't think I'm the only person that's confused by this.
It's okay.
If you are deep in the ramen game, you know what this... But if you're, like, skirting around the edge going, do I want to try this? I don't feel like I'm the only person that's confused.
Right.
All right, so we've got our broth.
That's correct.
Pork, chicken, vegetable.
Yep.
And now we have a sauce.
Yes.
Oh, how many sauces do we got?
So we have the basic traditional ones are shio, meaning salt.
Okay.
So the base, it's basically flavored with salt, but also bonito flakes, which is like a fish flake, like sesame seeds, sesame oil, garlic, ginger. So all those ingredients make that sauce.
Okay.
So it's very salty, so you can't just eat it like it is. So that a scoop of that goes into the broth, whether it's chicken or pork.
Okay.
So that's a shio base. Then we have a shoyu base. Shoyu meaning soy sauce.
So shio, salt.
Yeah.
Shoyu
is soy. Right.
Okay.
So shoyu, instead of the salt element, it becomes the soy sauce, which actually enhances certain flavors. It marries the flavors a little bit differently. And then we have miso. Miso by itself is not very attractive because it's a fermented bean.
Right.
But when you are used to like a miso soup, our miso ramen is more like that flavor, like 1,000 times amplified, because it has to coat the noodles. It has to go well with a the pork or chicken that you get with. It has to go together with the vegetables, toppings. So that's why that flavor, we don't just add miso straight out from the box. We basically make the miso. We add dark and light miso, and we marry that together with ground up Fuji apples, garlic, ginger, and all the good stuff. So that's what makes our miso sauce.
So we have our three broths, mm-hmm. and now we have our three sauces.
We also have green curry.
Okay.
Thai green curry.
So that's a fourth?
That's a fourth.
So a curry is more, what's that? So we have our salt.
Right.
We have, now the soy to me would be still a little salty, but I might.
It's not really.
Not
it's
bad.
Because it's the ratio of how much sauce you put in towards how much broth you use.
Okay.
So also, there are a lot of people concerning like, oh, doesn't ramen have a lot of salt? There's a yes and no to that, because the packaged ramen that everybody's used to eating, 10 for a dollar, everybody right. tried it at college when they didn't have money.
Right.
You know, these things, of course, it's loaded with sodium and it's loaded with like preservatives.
Right.
Because these are items that have to be packaged for a very long time.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons it's loaded in sodium. But
right.
ours, it's really not. And if you are concerned about that, we could actually get the sauce on the side and you could just add a little bit at a time to see, you know, at what point do you want to, you know, say, oh, this is good for me.
Well, even when I shared my wife's, I felt like I could have added salt. I didn't, because I was like, well, I don't want to.
Right.
I don't know what chef's doing here.
Right.
I just don't want to mess it up. But I felt like I could have. I don't even. Do you remember what I ordered? You probably do not. But
now that
I'm wondering, what did I order?
I don't remember. I think you had a shoyu ramen, definitely, because I think I recommended that.
So shoyu ramen is miso?
No, shoyu is the soy sauce.
Soy sauce.
Right.
Okay. So if I would have liked it a little more salty, I may have gone to the miso.
No, you could have actually asked for a little bit more sauce. Then
okay.
you could have just added it to it.
Okay. See, I'm learning.
Yeah.
I had no idea about any of this. So we've got our three broths.
Yep.
Now we're into a fourth sauce, which is the
Thai green curry.
Thai green curry. So is that a spicy?
It has a kick to it. Curry by nature has a kick to it, but I call it more like a dry heat. It's not like our spicy miso ramen where the spicy paste goes in and the whole thing is, you know, very spicy. To me, it's like a flavorful spicy.
Okay.
But green curry has like, definitely curry always has like a kick to it.
Do you think is there a big difference between a pork and a chicken? Is there like do people specifically say pork and chicken, like it's that big of a deal?
Yes. Some people have a misconception to me. Like, I grew up on pork and pork belly.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are like, well, pork belly's fatty. Yeah, but at the same time, here you are eating two eggs and bacon every morning. Bacon is pork belly, you know. So people don't really understand. They need to get out of that mentality that, you know, pork is fatty. It's really not. Compared to other items.
Well, I don't want to get off what we're talking because this is very informative. But
mm-hmm.
I feel like people need to get off the fat thing.
Right.
I don't think anybody has a real understanding of what a huge role fat plays in our life. It's very, very important. It's gotten such a bad name because of fat people.
Well, I think also because I think carbs got a very bad rep because, you know, everybody's on no carb diet or things like that. To me, when you go to Asia, people eat rice 3-4 times a
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
And that's our main source of food.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you don't see too many fat Asian people, I guess, when you go to Asia, they're constantly moving. They're constantly mm-hmm. doing things. They
Absolutely.
Don't, you know, eat bowls and bowls of rice and just sit in front of a couch. You know, they just don't do that. That's one of the reasons I think, you know, it's more in, I think, being overweight has to be more of a lifestyle that you're carrying, accommodated with what you're eating and how much you're eating.
Well, and I also think that we have all these fatty, trendy,
right.
like diets.
Diets, right.
And I think we're fucking up our whole, our system that's, you know, I think our body probably thinks we're freaking starving to death.
I know.
You know, fat is a stored energy.
Yep.
And if we're starving and we give our body a little fat, our body's going to store it.
Right.
I know that I've screwed up my whole system by different fatty things I've tried. You know, like what's the latest? The intermittent fasting. You know, they say 10 hours is good. I'd go 20.
Yeah.
I'm like eating. I got 1 hour to eat. My body's like, I don't know what you're doing, but you're starving to death.
Yeah.
So, all right. Sorry, I regress. But the fat is amazing.
Yeah.
You got to love fat. So, all right. So we're in we got our three broths.
So we have shio, shoyu, and then we have...
Shio, salt, shoyu, soy.
Soy, and then we have the miso, the fermented bean. Then we have Thai green curry. Then we have Thai tom yum.
Okay, so we're into six.
Right. We have tom yum, and then...
What's tom yum?
Tom yum is like... it's kind of like curry.
Okay.
It's a specific... So tom yum soup basically is what Thai people... It's like... sweet, it's like a sour, spicy and sour, hot and sour in Thai version. So it's kind of spicy, but not overbearing.
See, I'm feeling that like this might be I might need a little bit more of the spicier route.
Yeah, you could try it, definitely. And you can make any of those spicy. We have something called a bakudan. And bakudan is basically a spicy paste. It's everything in there is natural, meaning chili flakes, Thai chili peppers, garlic, ginger, galanga, sesame seeds, all those. And then you kind of make a paste out of it. And when you make a paste out of that, and some people think, oh, I could just, slather this on steak and it'll be good. But it's really not, because there's no salt element to that. Because like ramen basically is consisted of the sauce, broth, and then the salt is all in the sauce. So we don't add extra salt to these other elements that will enhance the ramen.
Now I'm starving. All right. So we've got three broths. Six sauces.
Yep.
All right. Is there a bad path that we could take right now? Like, is there a no-no in the ramen world as far as our simple setup so far? Like, do you never want to go like vegetable and, you know, green curry? I mean, is there a bad route?
I don't necessarily think so. It's just the way we make certain things. It's to the best of my knowledge of that dish. Okay. So that this would taste the best.
Okay.
This way.
Okay, so we can't go wrong so far.
No, I mean, I have people who because like in Japan, you can get a choice. You can get a miso ramen, but not with chicken broth. You could get it with the pork bone broth.
Oh.
So there's, and then you could throw the spicy paste on it. And there's all these different combinations they can do. Some people who are aware of that, they do request, you know, but like I said, the way we made ours was so that even if anybody just comes in and they're like, oh, I want to try the miso, but I don't know if I'm going to like it, then I don't just mix everything up. We just serve it as it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got our six sauces, three broths. Now, what's the next level?
The next level would be like the toppings. So like, for instance, shoyu or shio, you could choose whether you want chicken
or shio you want pork. Shio or shoyu is salt or miso?
Salt or soy sauce. Salt or soy.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So
I'm not messing up your business, but so go ahead.
So the only topping that is pre-decided for you will be the pork.
Okay.
So it's called the black garlic tonkotsu. So tonkotsu means like pork bone broth.
Okay.
So tonkotsu ramen is the one that has the pork as a topping. Okay. But if you want chicken
instead, shredded pork?
No, it's pork belly sliced into a medallion,
okay,
like in a round shape. So it'll have two nice thick pieces of pork.
Okay. So, yeah, and I was on your menu yesterday because I was like, I mean, you do some big shrimps in some of these bowls.
Yep, like Thai green curry, you could substitute it. You know, the only issue that I had so far were we were trying to accommodate as many people as possible in, because let's say you have a party of six and one of them cannot handle gluten at all. Mm. So we don't have a separate gluten-free menu per se, but we could modify a few things to make it gluten-free, because most of our stuff, when you say gluten, it's in the sauces, right, like the meat that's marinated in. It always requires like soy sauce or something like that. So we try to guide people that way.
Is there gluten in soy?
Yes.
Okay.
So you can't, apparently, like some people are very allergic. Like if they have celiacs, then we have to be very careful.
Poor soy.
Yeah.
I mean, soy is just like...
I know.
Too much salt in soy, now we get low.
But I feel like nowadays people are allergic to so many things that we weren't aware of back in the days. Like... Peanut allergies. I don't remember peanut allergies ever being a thing when I was a child. Like, who doesn't eat peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
We know. This is about focusing on
right.
Don't steer me because I'll go there. I agree. But you know, my ex-father-in-law had celiac, so mm-hmm. it's real.
Yeah,
we know that one is.
Yeah.
We don't question anything. Whatever you try to accommodate, sometimes you just can't accommodate. Right.
Right.
I mean, there's just too much going on.
Right. Because sometimes they want a certain, you know, flavor profile, but then everything that goes into that flavor has some kind of gluten. So then right. we can't, you know, recommend it.
So we've got our broths, our sauces. Now we're in the toppings.
Yes.
So we're doing the pork belly. We can do a shrimp.
We can do shrimp, pork belly, or the organic chicken.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the next level, because this is like, is this where the scallions and that egg?
Right. So we have...
That egg's kind of confusing to me.
It's actually, traditionally, that's how it's prepared. So it's a marinated egg. You soft boil the egg, and then you marinate it in what we call a chashu sauce.
Okay.
So that has like soy, sugar, mirin, sake, and then you marinate it for at least 24 hours. And then when you cut it open and you put it on the ramen, the yolk is a little bit runny.
Ooh.
So some people get freaked out about it, but it's just the traditional way we serve it.
Well, you know what it is? Remember the one they started eating the duck eggs with the ducks in them?
Oh, yeah. That screwed everything up.
Now I'm afraid like
to
this
To me,
is,
that's a little weird, too.
Yeah. Or they take these old dark eggs, you know.
Oh, the aged egg, fermented egg.
Yes.
Oh, the stinky eggs.
Yes. And I'm like, is that what that is? I don't know. I will say my son ate the egg, and he said it was delicious, so...
Well, your son's very daring. Most people would not eat that.
He doesn't care. He just eats. He's 15 and he just eats whatever.
That's good.
So what is it? I mean, you know, the popularity of the ramen bowl has seemed to kind of taken off a little bit. Am I making that up, or is this kind of a new trend? And have you always been doing like these kind of the bowls? I know you have other stuff because we also got the dumplings. I mean, it's not just the bowls. I mean,
so I don't come from a culinary background at all.
Okay.
And my mom, however, she was a great cook. She could whoop up a 3-course meal with nothing in the refrigerator. And that's just the way she was. And my father was such a finicky eater. He would not go out to eat. And my mom owned a restaurant at one point, and he would literally come home for lunch and wait for my mom to cook for him because he did not want to go eat somewhere. So it made my mom's life a living hell. But then, you know, I had to learn the way she cooked so that she didn't have to travel 2 hours back just to cook lunch and go back to the restaurant. So some days my dad would come and he would say, "Where's mom?" I'm like, "Oh, she was here. She set up all this food and left." But yet I'm the one cooking all the food.
Well, I think you shared when we were waiting for my food that night. You shared that story. I thought that was really cool, and you kind of had to. I thought that I had a lot of like it was a pain in the ass. But it sounds like no offense to your dad, but like they got away with a lot of stuff back then.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, Korean food is very different because we don't have any recipes. Like my mom would say, "Oh, a cup of water," and then I'm like, "But mom, that's like a dentist cup." That's like a little tiny little cup. That's not even considered a cup where, you know, measuring cups even go. And she'll say, "A spoon of sugar." And then she'll get like a giant ladle. I'm like, "Mom, that's not a spoon. That's like a bowl of sugar."
Yeah.
So we don't have measurements. We taste everything as we're cooking it. That's how I learned.
Yeah, well, I think the problem is that you want to be consistent. So I think that's probably why you figure out a recipe. But I definitely can relate. you know, I'm not a chef. I'm not a chef. I'm a one service chef, which is my family, and I don't take any food back. You get what you get.
Right.
But I think that that's, you know, it's always been about how do you make this? Give me the data. I'm going to take the data and make this. And then when you start, as you get older, and you're like, well, I can cook things this way. It's really about a temperature. We don't want to kill anybody, clearly, but it's about experimenting in temperature. And then right. If you find something that's great, being able to do it again. It's just, I kind of go through the kind of that way with in the hair business. You know, I can do a haircut, but can I do it again?
Right.
You know, because that's where people come back and they're like, I loved what you did. And I'm like, I didn't write anything down. So I'll have to try to make that. I'll save that recipe for next time. So you do the dumplings.
Yes.
So what are you making over there where you're like have some flexibility? Like, where can you improve?
I think there's always improvement, or there's always new things that you can introduce. So over the summer, we always like try different things. Things that I remember that I enjoyed that people have never heard about, or something that, you know, might go well. Like, for instance, like our chicken wings started all by accident.
You have those real red, what are they called? I mean, they're wings, but they...
Oh, the spicy Korean wings?
Spicy Korean wings.
Yep. So we have mild and spicy. So typically, Korean chicken wings are like double fried and it's very crispy. So
and very red. What's that red?
Oh, that sauce is called gochujang. Gochujang. Yeah, it's a red fermented bean paste. Okay. And that goes in a lot of dishes. But that's one of the key ingredients in the spicy paste. But there's, of course, a lot other stuff that makes that gochujang much more flavorful.
They look good.
Yeah, if you like spicy, I mean, I don't think it's overly spicy, but to some people it's very spicy.
Well, and the spicy that's so painful that it takes the pleasure out of eating, it's really, that's more of a gimmick. It's not really about...
I think so.
Because, you know, you should be able to eat it.
Yeah, people kept telling me, like, are you going to use ghost peppers? I'm like, why?
Yeah, what's
like, I don't understand. Then I probably have to carry milk too, because people are just not going to be able to enjoy it. They're just going to, their mouth is just going to burn up, and you know, they're just going to try it that one time. So yeah, I don't get it.
They have these wings, these spicy wing contests. It ain't about the wings. It's about the beer that they sell to wash down that pain.
Yeah.
So So you feel like there could be some improvement to the wings?
Yeah, I see. There could be a lot of improvement. There could be more flavors. There could be, you know, more consistency. I recently experimented with, you know, the wings. Some people said that, last time I got it was great, but this time it was a little dry. And so I said, okay, let's improve on that. So then I started brining them, and then... The first time, if you didn't brine it correctly, it came out too salty. So I was like, okay, that's not working. So then I had to experiment with how much that we're going to brine, how long we're going to brine it, so that it comes out still nice and juicy, but crispy on the outside.
So do you want to talk a little bit? I love that brining. Yeah. I mean, to me, that is... I brine everything now. So like if we're doing chicken, I brine it. Just brine... I mean, I read... And so brining is basically taking a solution,
right,
whether it's all salt. I think...
Right.
I always do salt and sugar.
I only do salt.
Okay.
Only because there are some sugar that goes into our sauces. So, you know, I don't like to add like too much, where you can't kind of control it. Because our sauces, the wings are basically the same. The sauce that goes on top of it, it's a little different. One is mild, which is like soy, garlic, ginger, and the other one is spicy, which has the gochujang and garlic and things like that. So once the chicken wing is neutral, then you could add those sauces to make it, you know, what you want it to be.
So I use a little sugar because that's what I read, but it makes sense why you wouldn't.
Right.
And basically just soak chicken. Absolutely. And I've done it with a turkey too.
Yeah.
And just let it soak.
Yeah.
And that salt really allows the moisture to soak up into the protein.
Yep.
And what an awesome deal.
Yeah. Because I don't think a lot of places that offer chicken wing go through the trouble of what we go through. Like, we trim each chicken wings, even when it comes in. There's pieces of bone hanging out. There's feathers sticking out or whatever, then we trim every single piece, then we wash it down, then we brine it.
Well, and there's something that happens when you brine something. It almost frees you. So listen, if you're going to eat a wing, so you right. take a hot wing, okay? Right. You don't want to be stuck in that wing, you know, trying to, pull a piece off. You right. want to get in, take a bite, and pull away while it's hot. Right. You don't need your lips all engulfed in that sauce, you know, even though it's delicious, but especially spicy wings. You know, you want to get in, take a bite and move on, right?
And I think
brining helps with that. I think it loosens up the protein, it loosens up the fiber, allows you to get a bite and get away.
And keep it juicy.
Yeah, and keep it juicy without letting the wing get cold. Because there's a lot to a wing.
Yeah.
Korean, Chinese spicy wings, down on the Bayou wings, over in Dewey Beach wings. The main thing is you want to eat them hot.
Yep.
And you don't want to burn your face off. And you don't want struggling to get your bite.
Yeah, and once you bite into it, you don't want it dry.
Right.
There's nothing like dried up wings.
Right, Kim. Yeah. So brining, to me, helps. Allows you to bite into the hot wing, pull off your bite, and not struggle and burn your lips.
Yep, absolutely.
So I'm with you on the brine. Go on, Kim.
So those are...
No problems so far.
So like Korean chicken wings was one of those things that I wanted to introduce it, but not at that time. So somebody had told me that, this new place opened up, they have Korean chicken wings. I'm like, no way. No, there's no Koreans that live in that neighborhood. Why would there be Korean chicken wings? So then I called my partner up and said, you need to give me this, go to this place.
Is this John?
John, yeah.
John. Can we give John a shout out?
Absolutely.
Because I tell you what I don't want to steer you from a story because we're going to go, but what I loved about my first visit was that John came over to me.
Uh-huh.
I walk in there, John's at the, he's eating, I think he was eating dinner.
Right.
And he walks over to me and introduces himself and asks if I'm okay and do I need anything. He, because you can't do everything, he was right there, as a good partner should be.
Yep. And he was one of the reasons why I actually got to do this, because I've been in restaurant business or restaurant management for a very long time. And I, at one point, did not ever think of having a restaurant because I know how much work goes into it. I know either you're married to it or you're not, or you're not going to succeed at least. So I was like debating, yes, no. He was the one that actually pushed me, and he was the one that kind of funded me to do what I do because he knew.
He believed in you.
Right. At that point, I didn't even think I believed in myself. I thought, I could do it, but can I sustain a business that way? But he believed in me. He, was the main force in me being able to do what I do.
Yeah, well, he seems like a great guy. Next time, maybe we'll get him in here. So you sent him off on an investigative mission to find Korean chicken wings.
So then comes back with these wings. And the
was he like...
No, the minute I open it, I was like, this is not Korean chicken wings. And apparently they tried because... They must have used gochujang as one of the ingredients as a spicy wings. And I'm like, but this is completely wrong. It's not even double fried. It's not even fried. It's not even crispy. It's like, people
just... So it wasn't about how bad they did. It's how much better you could do.
Right. Okay. So I said, I'll show you how it's done. And so in a way, that's like being super cocky. But I think it's because I already knew what it's supposed to be. Right. And I didn't want people to think, we had Korean chicken wings. It was good. I was like, no, Korean chicken wings not like that, and it's not good. It's great. I want you to try how it's supposed to be. Right. So that's how I ended up putting it on the menu. And I was only going to do it as a special. But then a week later, when I was about to take it off the menu, people were just like, no, you can't take that off.
So I can go over there right now and order what? An order of 10? 12?
So
six?
It's one order has like 8 pieces.
Okay.
But they're big pieces.
Okay.
They're not like small wings.
I want to try. I want to see it. This is why I wanted to have you on, because you steered me to a bowl, which was delicious, but I feel like that's my only option. Like, if I was going to go over there today, I'd be like, hey, Kim, can you just give me what you gave me the other day, that bowl? I need to learn. And now I'm starving for some Korean chicken wings.
Right, right.
But you think... There's room for improvement.
I think there's room for improvement in any aspect. I don't think you should be satisfied where you're at. Yeah, you could do a good job, but I always, So that's kind of like the mentality of Japanese people. If you ever go to Japan, you'll see how everybody does things with pride, even the people who sweep the streets. Mm. And being in America for so long and going back to Asia and seeing that was very, very refreshing. Everybody's very respectful. So it's not just about me living my life to my comfort. It's about thinking of everyone. I should be comfortable, but so should the next person who sit on this park bench. So you don't put your foot on it because it's disrespectful for people who you don't even know that's going to sit there next.
I don't even know if we know what disrespectful is anymore. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. It's very refreshing.
It's a whole other podcast right there. Yeah. Well, I am. So we've got our bowls, and now we've got the chicken wings. One of my favorite things that I had the other day was these, and my son said, "Make sure you get the goyo."
It's probably takoyaki.
Well, it was the dumplings.
Oh, the dumpling gyoza.
Gyoza.
Yeah, gyoza.
Gyoza.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, "Make sure you get gyoza." I'm like, "What is that?" He's like, "Dumplings." I said, "Okay." So we got them. They were amazing. I could actually probably just eat that.
Yeah. So gyoza is prepared different. Some people say, "Is it fried? Is it steamed?" And I said, "It's both," because there's a special cast iron grill that we call it the gyoza machine. Basically, you put a little bit of oil down and so it doesn't stick to it, and you put it on there. And then before you close it, you squirt a little water in. So the bottom gets crispy while the top is soft, like steamed. Mm. So that's how it's traditionally prepared. So it's kind of like, you know, the best of both worlds, steamed or, what do you call it, grilled, fried.
Well, one of my favorite things about eating at a restaurant like yours, I don't know anything about it. Like, I'm really there, and I'm relying on you to guide me.
Right.
I'm sure that happens quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And
we don't mind at all.
Yeah, no, you did a great job, and I appreciated it. One of the things that whether it's you, you know, did you know Matt Haley?
I did know him.
So he would be, you know, there's nothing better than you meeting a person that can introduce you to something that you wouldn't have probably tried, but it does it in such a way that you're like so excited about doing it.
Right.
And he was great about doing that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I would go over to his house and be like, "Sit down." I'd be like, "All right." And he'd be cooking something. And he'd just put it down in front of me, and I'd be like, "What is this?" He goes, "Just try it." And it would have, like, I remember having some spaghetti, or it was a pasta, but there were big wedges of lemon in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Why are there lemons in this pasta, man?" And he's like, "Just eat it." It was always delicious. We had the conversation when I came and ate about bone broth, because we talked about the bone broth. You're like, "It takes me 60 hours to make this, and it's silky." And I'm like, "Silky, yes." And it reminded me of the time that I had gone over to, it was around Christmas, over to Matt's and had dinner, and he served us bones.
And bone marrow. Yeah. Right.
There's big, giant femur bones that he had cut, and he baked them in an oven, and then he scooped out this paste out of the marrow, the marrow, and put it on these bread baguettes.
Yes.
And I remember only eating it because Matt Haley had given it to me. If anybody else, I'd be like, "Get that out of my face." But of course, wanting to be on his level, I'm like, "Of course." And I ate it, and it was amazing.
Yes.
And it's guys like you, it's guys like Matt that take us on a journey for a guy like me to try something I've never tried before.
Right.
And feeling safe, feeling like I'm okay to try pretty much whatever you suggest. It's kind of a responsibility, but you did it well. How do you handle that? Because it is a little vague when it comes for your first timer.
Right. So the best that we can do is explain it to them.
Right.
And, you know, explain the very details of as close as we can to what it tastes like or what they can expect out of it. And, you know, I honestly don't like when people leave unhappy. Sometimes you can, like you said, you can make everybody happy, but my motto is like, why not try? You know,
right.
So if you could try to make everybody happy, at least you're winning half of the battle.
You can definitely try to make everybody happy.
Because I see a lot of people who are in service industry, but I feel like they don't quite understand what they're doing, meaning, like, I don't think they understand fully what customer service is. I mean, try the best that you can. I mean, if somebody's unhappy, try to make them happy as much as you can. That's what customer service is. If not, then get out of that business.
Well, what I appreciated mostly, because I came in, we had a weird day, and I came in and ordered at 8:30.
Yeah.
At 8:30 at night. Right. And you took the time and chatted with me.
Yeah.
Don't try to get a haircut at 8:30 at my sleep. I'm moody and I'm grumpy. But you took the time and you used words like silky.
Yeah.
You know, and to describe a bone broth, then yeah. I'm like, but when I ate my soup, I could feel the silkiness. You yeah. know, it wasn't just, is it salty? Is it no salty? Is it right. is it a broth? I'm thinking silky. I'm like
creamy, silky. Yeah.
And then I'm passing the flavors through my nose and just kind of, I'm like, okay, what? And I didn't always used to do that. Mm-hmm. And Matt was great about kind of introducing me to that, learning about notes and food and just trying. And I'm not a food guy, you know, I just feed me. But when I'm trying something where an adjective like silky was used in this broth and like 36 hours of cooking it, I'm like, I'm feeling the silkiness. I'm feeling the notes.
Right.
Can you use notes in describing broth, or is that for coffee?
No, I think you could say that with any kind of food.
Yeah, but it had a great earthy flavor and an earthy aroma, and it was amazing. You helped me with that. The food that you cooked was amazing like that. So that's fun. That's yeah. fun stuff, right?
Yeah, and it's also amazing to watch people try something for the first time that they never tried and actually try to describe it. Because it's kind of hard for them because they never tasted something like this before. Then they're like, this is absolutely amazing. I never knew something like this existed. And, you know, I feel like my job is somewhat complete with that person, that I could give them some kind of joy over food.
Well, and I feel like it's kind of the atmosphere there, too. It's like, hey, hold on. Talk to my partner. It's like, I gotta go take care of this. It's like this, you know, it's two guys passionate about the same thing.
Right.
You know, a ramen bowl isn't formal, right?
Right.
It's you've got some stuff floating. You've got stuff half sunk. You've got your broth. You're putting it together. The lack of formality is, I think, what made me so feel interested in it. Like I can dig this. I almost feel like we're just throwing something together that's just going to be amazing.
Right. So ramen noodles in Japan is basically, it's enjoyed by everyone. Actually, ramen is one of the most sold food around the world. And that's actually including instant ramen. But ramen noodles in Japan, when people think of Japanese food, they're like sushi, sashimi. It's actually not.
Right.
Because only sushi and sashimi were... enjoyed by people who had money. There are right. so many people who didn't have money, but ramen noodle was enjoyed by everyone. Fishermen, kids, old people, politicians, young people. It's just enjoyed by everyone. That's what makes, I think, ramen more interesting to me to want to, you know, show to everybody in Delaware. But at the same time, you know, now people do it because it's trendy. And they basically just find a ramen supplier that'll make you a bag of, like, broth, concentrate, and throw it in water.
Yeah.
To me, that's not how it should be.
No. And, I mean, shrimp kind of got a bad rap for a while there. It was always like the beef and the chicken.
Right.
The shrimp, nobody wanted the shrimp.
Because they said it was too much cholesterol.
I love
ramen. Moderation. That's how I see it.
What I love about doing this podcast is chatting with people that, you know, and you kind of, and you've, I didn't mean to kind of cut you off, but you talked about how your partner was like, listen, he believed in you.
He did, yeah.
And, you know, this podcast has always been about, you know, one small business helping another, whether it was, is it JP or John?
John.
John. Yeah. So, you know, John was one small business and he was helping you.
Right.
You know, just like when I was 10 years ago, when I was wanting to kind of bellyache about my status at where I was working, and Matt's like, listen, why don't you open your own salon?
Right.
And I'm like, I'm freaking out.
But it's funny how, like, you know the answer to it, but other people see it before you do.
Yeah, because I can't speak for you, but I know I'll tend to take the easy road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I know that opening a salon was going to be the hard road. And, right. you know, there's balancing. Do I want to? But I tell you what, I never felt more fulfilled and satisfied in a life
right.
as I did taking on that challenge. You know, I've said it before, for me at least, I'm not living unless mm-hmm. I'm suffering. Mm-hmm. And whether it's trying to suffer through opening a place, worrying about a pandemic, are we going to make it?
Right.
But I tell you what, I feel like I've put my best foot forward and I'm taking part in the struggle.
Right.
I'm not just sitting by going, what's going to happen? I know I'm putting in the work. It happens when you open a restaurant or a salon. You're there. But it's that guy that's going, Kim, I think you can do this.
Yeah.
I love what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And you coming out on the other side and saying, we did it. Yeah. Or we're doing it.
Yeah. I mean, even yesterday, somebody said, so when are you going to open one up in PA? I'm like, I'm not. I'm trying to make this the best one that I have here.
Right.
To me, that requires my full attention. You know, I have to be there on the days off and see what I need to do. Or Japanese food is a lot of prepping. Putting it together literally is like 3 minutes.
Well, and the freshness, right?
Right.
Whether it's Chinese or Japanese food, it's always about, I mean, I watch documentaries about these people that spend millions of dollars on freshness.
Right, right.
Whether it's the tuna, the fishmongers, the yep. vegetables. I mean, these guys over in China or in Japan that have these restaurants, I mean, they're walking
yep.
the aisles of vegetables and picking just for the day. So you already got that burden, right? You yeah. already got to keep it fresh.
Yeah, if you ever go to a fish market and there's this Asian person in a suit bidding on something at a very high price, it's usually Japanese people.
Well, and I saw this thing that it isn't even about the freshness. It's about the just saying that you had a piece of tuna that was the $2 million tuna. It's the, you know, the one-upsman right. that they like to do. I'm sure you wouldn't change a thing, right?
No, I would not. I wouldn't, you know, like I didn't even know how to make ramen noodles in the beginning. So we had to consult with a Japanese noodle master.
Oh.
His name is Kotani. Kotani-san is, he owns a company called Worldwide Soba Incorporated. So he's out of Brooklyn, but he not only is amazing with his hands making soba noodles by hand with this giant cleaver of a knife that cuts each strand, but he's also an amazing humanitarian. So he will go to like indigenous areas in Africa and find out what they could harvest, then show the people what they can make with it.
Wow.
He's an amazing person. So I was lucky enough to get in touch with him, and jokingly he asked me where my ramen noodle bar was. And I said, oh, I don't have one. But if you consulted with me, I would totally have one. Ha, ha, ha. And then he was like, okay. I'm like, okay, what? And then that's how this whole thing came about.
Did you go to Brooklyn or did he come down here?
I went to Brooklyn, yeah.
Brooklyn's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of like a ramen kind of convention or showing how to make ramen. So I just wanted to know about it before I even think about it. But even when I went to see him, up till that point, he said yes. I was like, yeah, I'm watching him making this noodles, but there's no way I'm going to have a ramen shop.
And then how many years ago was that?
That was 5 years ago.
5 years.
Yeah.
So you started a ramen shop, you started the whole thing fresh, and 5 years later, you're still doing fine.
Right.
Through a pandemic, in fact.
Yeah. So, and luckily, we're one of the few people that makes our own everything. Broth, sauces, noodles, everything's made in-house.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, listen, I love you. I love your food. I think when we met, I listened to your podcast you did with Gretchen. I thought it was, I'm like, God, I want a guy to come on my podcast like this. and we met, and you were kind enough to come back. I appreciate it. I think that, you know, you talk about opening up. You know, my buddy Carlos says, you know, you either make a business to sell or you make a business to work at for the rest of your life.
Right.
And it sounds like you and I are kind of the same. We work at businesses. We open businesses that we probably will work at it for yeah. the rest of our life.
And I don't think, I don't know what I would do if I don't get up every morning, even though sometimes you worry about this or that, if I'm not making noodles.
Right. Well, and that's our purpose. I mean, you know, as much as, you know, I wake up some days and I don't want to go to work. I work in a salon that I own. I have no boss. I answer to nobody. And there's still days I just don't want to go to work.
Yeah.
So it is always still a job. But if it wasn't for the Monday through Friday grind of working, you don't enjoy the weekend. And that's kind of really how life is.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not grinding into something, I'm not enjoying something else. If Absolutely. It's just a life of me chilling,
yeah.
it's a miserable existence.
Yeah, I'd be bored.
I'd be bored. Exactly. What is... If I'm sending a friend over there, what do I suggest? I'm sure you're proud of everything, but what's going to hit it out of the park? What's going to bring people back?
So this is just by experience. I thought for me, when I go somewhere, I try almost everything. And then, you know, I try different things every time. But for us, it's always been the pork bone broth. So the black garlic tonkotsu ramen. Right. So people who say, oh, next time I'm going to try this, they'll come back, they'll order the black garlic. And I'm like, why did you have the black garlic again? He goes, because I can't get this flavor anywhere else. Like,
well, and that's trouble, right? Because you don't want to miss the opportunity.
Right.
You want to try everything else, but that was really good.
But, you know, when I went to Japan 2 years ago, and there was a place that specialized in the Hakka-style pork bone broth. So John and I went there, and, you know, our flavor was so dead on to that flavor. I knew, like, we were doing something good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I love it. You want to talk about anything else? Because I've had you here for an hour now.
The only other thing I would love to get people to understand or open their mind to are sake. So when they come in, okay. I love talking sake with them. And also, like, our name.
So is sake a wine?
Sake is only similar to a wine in the context of the alcohol content.
So it's got a kick to it.
But it's actually brewed like a beer.
Okay. So,
but rice beer doesn't really ring a bell as better than rice sake.
So it's... Because I'm sober, so mm-hmm. I'm not going to be any good in this part of the conversation, but I will listen and learn.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you drink sake hot or cold?
So traditionally, the hot sake is drank hot only because in Japan, certain parts of Japan, it's very, very cold. So you only heat up the cheapest of the cheap sake.
Okay.
Because you only get that heating element that kind of resonates through your body when you drink it, but it doesn't have a good... like flavor profile.
I was going to say, does the heating of the disperse the alcohol out of it?
Well, you heat it to a certain amount.
You just warm it.
Right.
Okay.
So, like, the premium sakis are never heated up because it's so complex, and some of them are just so beautiful in flavor. Some of them could end with like a cantaloupe afternote or like a crisp apple afternote. Oh. So these are things that people don't know. And there's many, many styles of sake as well.
Okay. And you, yeah. So are you a sake bar as well?
Oh, yeah. We, for a small place like us, I try to bring in so many different variety of sake okay. with so many different flavor profile because some of them might be fruity and, you know, floral, but it might not necessarily go well with your food. So, you know, then we have the one that almost has like a little bitter touch to it that actually complements the food better. So there's many, many different types of sake.
So on a date like today, are you going to have a special menu today or do you just going to work off the menu for the day?
Well, we usually work off the menu, but we do have a couple like summer specials still running.
I mean, do you walk in, all right, morning chef, what's up? How's it going? And you're like, I'm thinking we're going to do this tonight as a special and I'm going to pair it with this sake. I mean, is that a thing?
I usually don't do sake pairing. I would tell people if they're interested in sake and I'll ask them, what are you getting for dinner? Then they'll like, oh, I'm getting this. I'm like, well, you should try this one. This sake goes really well with this kind of food.
Okay.
Because some of them pair better with like pork. Some of them pair better with like lighter foods. So.
See, I think all of this is a mystery.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know much about the food and you've helped me with that. Yeah. Sake... I can't do sake. It'll be my last podcast.
But, absolutely.
but I do, you know, it's a thing to people.
Yeah.
You know, and people, there are things to people that don't even realize that it's a thing yet for them.
Exactly.
And I'm not, I think maybe we could, you know, maybe, I'm not telling you what to do. I don't have any idea what to do. I know nothing about anything.
But I had a lady that asked me to make a book of sake. of every sake that I have. I'm like, why? And she was like,
she was probably on sake.
She was like, I would come in here and read this book every single day.
She sounds like she was on sake at the time.
Yeah, she loves her sake.
Well, so I think that would be fun, you know. And you know, people, I remember when cigars started becoming popular. All of a sudden, you're cutting them.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting in a room with other people, and I'm thinking maybe I want to be a cigar guy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe people don't realize the pairing. I don't even know if that's even the right term for that. Yeah. But that might be a thing to try.
Yeah, I that is definitely in the back of my head.
That's fun. Well, Kim, listen, I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me here.
I love what you're doing over there. I love the atmosphere as soon as I walked in, and I appreciate you taking the time. It is your job, but you were very kind about taking the time to kind of help me explain about the food, and I just thought, I can't wait to go back. Now I understand a little more.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you made it through this pandemic so far.
Thank you.
If anybody hasn't tried, it's Miyagi's Ramen Bar.
Miyagi Ramen Bar.
Miyagi Ramen Bar.
And the name actually comes from, it could be from Karate Kid.
I wasn't going to say that.
Mr. Miyagi, Kim. Because a lot of people think that. But also, Delaware is a sister state of Miyagi Prefecture in Japan. We're on the same latitude as the Miyagi Prefecture. So it's a sister state to Delaware.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, look at that. Little information.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, it's a great place. It's got a bar.
Yep.
It's got seating.
Yep. So starting this Tuesday, we're going to start our happy hour back again.
Okay.
And we're going to probably start our Wednesday $10 ramen night either this week or starting next week.
Okay. So Wednesday, a $10 ramen night.
Yep.
And that's from any of the ramens that are on the menu, I guess?
I think we select 4 items.
Okay.
So like the mandu ramen.
So everything on the menu, right? Slow down, bro.
I would love to have everything on the menu for $10, but unfortunately...
Well, this is on Wednesdays.
Wednesday dinners.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Because locals are coming out. We have to have our locals specials.
Well, yes, they are. And we are... I remember Matt, you know, someone was complaining about it at one of his restaurant prices in the summer. And he goes, this restaurant's not for you in the summer.
Right.
It's for the visitors. We do a lot. We spend a lot of effort in the fall and winter for you. But the summer's not your time.
Right, right.
So
that's a great way of putting it.
Well, you know, it makes sense. It's like going to, are you into music?
It depends.
Well, I don't know if you've been to the Firefly Music Festival.
I have not.
But when you go up there, you spend $9 on it, or I think it's $7 for a lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
You're only spending it because you're at the Firefly Music Festival.
Right, you're at the festival.
Same philosophy at the beach. If you're coming here, you're going to spend $7 on lemonade. Now, if you live here, you're going to be all upset about it.
But we're, you know, I do get both aspects because I'm a customer when I'm not working as well.
Sure.
So I do understand it. But at the same time, you know, that's why, like, we're always the same. It's whether you come during summer or winter.
Well,
we have specials in the winter.
The cool thing about your restaurant, and you probably said this to yourself, I'm not going to confirm it, but you probably thought at some point that you were glad that you had a small little restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you can kind of just do your thing.
Yep.
You know, this pandemic kind of thing, I feel like it's kind of been the disease of the gluttonous, you know, it's attacked everything, you know, and some people are making it and some people aren't.
New York is getting hit really, really bad and it's a shame.
Well, New York's a little gluttonous.
Yeah.
I mean, I have family up there.
Yeah. I mean, coming from there and going out to eat so many times in New York, and even there's this one restaurant group that, in my opinion, they kind of shaped how restaurants are in a way in New York. And they completely shut down all their, I think, 18 restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this is a resurgence of just kind of being a small restaurant, you know, all these things. And I won't go into it too deep, but they were all eating out. Everything that we do now on a regular basis used to be a privilege.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be special to go out to dinner.
Absolutely.
It used to be special to go to the movies, concerts. You know, it was a special thing. And now us, whoever, I'm not posting any blame, but we've kind of become used to living a day of privilege.
Yeah.
And it's, we're realizing that that can come and go pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And so anybody out there, and listen, if, you know, if you're struggling, you know, and you and you're struggling in your business and you may need some advice or you just want to share or talk, you know, reach out to any other business owner out there and just maybe get some help or advice, maybe not help, but just to chat it out. Sometimes it's important if you're like at that place where you're like, I don't know how I'm going to make it another month of this stuff that's going on. You know, reach out to another small business owner, share your story. You know, it helps if you're struggling. And it also, honestly, it may not appear that we're other people are struggling, but we're all struggling.
Right.
We're all scared.
Right.
And, you know, reach out and just, you know, see if anybody needs help. You know, let's not let our other fellow business owners get into that place where we're just consumed by fear. Yeah.
And it's not just business, I think. As people also, I think we tend to lose track because as long as we're comfortable and as long as it doesn't affect us, I feel like, oh, I'm fine. But right. It shouldn't be like that because if you go to any other countries or Asian countries in particular, you will see a sense of camaraderie amongst everyone.
Right.
Whether it's political differences, they still, when they have to come together as a nation, they all do. And I think we need to kind of, you know, put that in our lives and think that it's not just about me. It's about living with amongst others.
We absolutely do. And I can tell you, for just a regular guy, this has been, I shared with somebody else, and that's kind of why I suggest this, that I was depressed. This is depressing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And whether it's through school, you know, today the kids went back to school. Somebody said to me, the kids are only going back to school because the parents don't want to find a daycare. Part of that was true, Kim. She was right, Kim. But not all of it, right. You know. And I was just at the moment where I felt like snapping out and getting into an argument, and I just bit my tongue. Part of it was true, but, you know, it's a tough time, and we're just having to kind of get through it.
Yes.
And but the point is, if you're struggling, if you're overwhelmed, call Kim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, call Kim or me, and we'll have coffee and chat it out, and we'll get through it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this community is important to me. I know it's important to you.
Yes,
and,
it is.
We're blessed. We're very lucky, and we made it through summer. We're getting into fall. This is the time, really, where we start supporting one another.
Yeah,
digging in and reaching out and see who tries some great food.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, brother.
All right.
Well, listen, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And we'll check in with you in a little bit.
All right.
Thanks, bud.
Bye.